take our sermon this morning from the book of Mark, a couple of different scriptures in Mark. Starting off here in Mark chapter 4, we see the story, we see the account given of the storm that comes upon them as they're on this journey, crossing over the sea there. And so we're going to take some our lessons from these two records of where Jesus' disciples are out in the sea, and they have troubling times, they have difficulties. So let's start reading here. We'll read these verses. It says, and the same day, and this means this is the day that Jesus has been teaching, he's been speaking, he was out in a little ship speaking to the people. And the people were standing on the land, on the shoreline, listening. It says, and the same day when even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want us to try as best we can to put ourselves in that ship. Now, it's difficult for us because looking back, we know that they did not perish. We know that the ship could not sink. We know we have a song that we sing about this. There are several songs that come from this. Some of that, Brian led a song this morning, talks about later where him lifting him out of the sea and sinking, and love lifted me. But I want us to try to think, what would it be like to be in the ship? What would it be like to be in this storm? Well, we know when we're looking back that no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of oceans, the wind and the skies. And so we want to think about how we would behave in this same event. If we were these disciples. You know, I wonder sometimes about this word they that's in here. Is this referring to the disciples that followed him? Or was this also some other people, like some that worked on the ship and were hands of the ship? But as I want us to think about this, this is very much like life. Life is like this. Remember how that Jesus talked about the two people, that one that would hear his word and to be a doer, or obey the things that he had done, and he likened them unto the man that builds a house and a storm comes upon them. Storm came upon both houses. Storm, it says that the rain, the floods, and the wind beat upon both houses. But one house fell. And so, life is like this. Life has storms. Storms, and the wind will come, the waves will come, the floods will come. But out on the sea, maybe it becomes a little clearer to us that we're not in control. We might, even if we, maybe a sailor like Brian's been out there a lot, maybe if you've been out on the water for a while, you don't feel as fearful of it. You get more comfortable out there. But to me, it seems like out in the water that the danger just surrounded you all the time. And that you would realize more that you are not in control. You realize the difficulty of it. But even in our lives, we may have trouble surrounding us and not realize it. We may ignore it. But when we think about this, crossing over this sea was a difficult thing. It was a challenge for them. And it was not a challenge that they just set out onto without any preparation, any thought of it. They had sailors. They had been on the water. They had a ship. They didn't just start wading out in and then hope to swim to the other side. They had this specially crafted vessel that was able to float on the water that was designed to carry them through. The ship had been designed. It had been planned. It had been built with much labor. It had been supplied with implements or whatever else, whatever the things that it needed. It had probably even been tested in the water and gone back and forth. But that teaches us that even the best of our plans, even when we've done all that we can do to prepare for things, storms still come that seem to be greater than we can handle. That will overtake our plans. Storms of life will come. And partly, we might wonder why. Why is it that life is this way that has these storms? Especially when we're in the middle of a storm, whenever we're having difficulties, when things are not going our way, when it seems like one trouble after another, we say, why? And we know that part of this reason why is because men have rejected God. If God's plan was accepted, if God was obeyed, then things would be smoother. Things would be perfect. We wouldn't have these problems. But we know that we're fallen men. We know that we always, from time to time, turn away from what God wants us to do. And this, in part, brings the difficulties that's in this life. But sometimes maybe we just need to think of the storms as an opportunity. This is an opportunity to prove our faith. An opportunity to strengthen our faith. An opportunity to see our Lord and our God as our Savior. And to see His power and might. To see Him more clearly. So I want us to see the things that we can learn from this story. As we go back through and look at some of these things. So first I want us to see Jesus asleep in the storm. He was asleep. The storm came upon them. It says that the wind came down and beat on them and filled the boat. You see verse 37 says it was now full. The waves beating over into the ship. Everyone else is saying, we're going to die. We're going to perish. Everyone is panicked. But Jesus, see Jesus, He's asleep on the pillow, it says. As you look at the Greek word, it just means something for your head to rest on. So it could have been anything that He found to lean His head on as He slept. He's asleep. I want us to learn some things from this. I think this teaches us something about Jesus, that He was, as He came, He was God, but He was a man. And we can see His humanity in this. He was tired and He needed physical rest. He had physical needs just like us. I think I've got a scripture here. Hebrews 2:6 says, this is talking about Jesus as He speaks of Jesus, how that He was a priest. And He teaches of Jesus here how that He, we can see of Him taking on His a life of a man, as He says in verse 16. He says, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him that He be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest and things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so we see Jesus is just like us, in that he has, as he lives in this life, he has a physical body. He gets tired. He gets sleepy. He has needs. He needs to eat. Also, we've got another verse on this. It's down in chapter 4, verse 15 of Hebrews. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Yet without sin. He had all of the temptation. He had the trials. He had the needs, but he handled it without sin. And so we can see this of Jesus as he sleeps there. He needs sleep. We also can see of Jesus as he sleeps there, the burden of, that he bore in ministering to the people, in teaching to the people. You know, dealing with people is hard. Especially when you're dealing with people and everybody is bringing you their problems. And that's what they did to Jesus. And he's trying to teach them. He's trying to teach them of the kingdom. He's trying to teach them of God's will. He's trying to prepare them for what is to come. And it was a burden to him. And he was tired, so tired that he could sleep in the storm. Another thing that we can see in this is his peace. We see the peace of Jesus in that he could lie down and sleep in the storm. He was not afraid of the storm. In Psalms 4 and 8 says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." So trusting in the Lord, he could have peace. But I want us also to see the contrast here of Jesus and the others. And Jesus looks different than the others, and that he has peace when they have panic. And I want us to realize that as Christians, we will look different than the world when we have peace in storms. When we trust in God through trials, realize that is an opportunity to look like Jesus. That's an opportunity to show the power of God that we trust in. And think about Gethsemane. At Gethsemane, we see a different story. We see the opposite, where Jesus tells his disciples that they should wait with him as he goes to pray. They should watch with him. And they come back and they find, Jesus comes back and finds the disciples asleep. And he says, "What, can you not watch with me for an hour?" While he's wanting to pray, he's praying and he's pouring out his spirit. He's pouring out his request. And he asked them that they would pray. And he's warning them that they would pray, as he told Peter, "lest you enter into temptation." He tells him to pray and to be ready. And asked them to watch. So they didn't, and they did not. And I want us to think about this as disciples. I'm not sure about the "they" that was the panic. Maybe it was his disciples. Maybe it was others on the ship. But as disciples, what should they have been doing? If Jesus lay down in peace, they should have had peace. In Gethsemane, Jesus goes and he prays and he's asking them to stay and to watch and pray. And then they slept. They didn't look like their master in either case. And so that's a lesson for us. We have to look to God and see what his response is. What's his response to sin? What's God's response to the world? And we need to copy it. as disciples of Jesus, we should look like Jesus. We should have peace when He has peace. We should be concerned in the matters that He has concern. Also, as we look back at this in Matthew chapter 4, you notice how it says that it was now full. It seems that though they waited a long time, that they didn't want to wake Him. Not sure why, but it says it's now full, and now they're worried, and so they go and they call Him and they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They didn't trust in Him. They didn't think that He even cared, because they trusted their sight, as we spoke of before, living by sight versus living by faith. If we trust our perception more than we trust what we believe, we look around us and we see the storm. We look around us and we see the problems. Sight says that the ship is going to perish. That's what sight sees when it looks around. Faith would say, "Jesus told me to get in the ship, and I'm doing what He told me. That Jesus said we would cross over to the other side, and that I'm doing just that." Faith would trust in Jesus for the outcome. And again, we would say, as the song says, faith would tell us, "No waters can swallow the ship where lies the Master." That's what faith would tell us. But we trust our sight and we ask, "Carest thou not that we perish? Do you not even care for us? Do you not care about the problem?" We trust our sight, we accuse God, as it appears that that's what they are doing here. But whenever you look at Jesus, and when you know Jesus, and you know what He's done for us, and look at His life that He lived, you realize it's a life of care. You look at Him in Gethsemane, and you look at Him on Calvary, and you'll see His care for sinful man. He gave His own life that we don't have to perish. He proved that He cared. You could see His description of Himself as the Good Shepherd, and He says the Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. He talks about someone that was a hireling would run, someone that was just hired to do the job may not be there to care, but the Good Shepherd, as He was, cares for the sheep. And you can see His care over Jerusalem as He comes and sees the city and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and how oft would He have gathered them unto Him as a chick gathering her young under her wings." You see, all through Jesus' life, He cared for people. And so then we must gain faith and trust in Him that He cares. And so now as we look at this story, we see that He rebuked the wind, and they obeyed. The sea, He said, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. As we talked about in some previous sermons, just looking at the power of God, you see that these people were amazed at this. But it was not an amazing thing for Jesus to calm the sea, to bring a calm, to stop the wind when He created all things. Jesus rebuked the wind and they obeyed. And we see a great calm comes from it. A completely different situation when Jesus is in control, as He was always in control. But we see here the great calm, that there were never really any danger. And now they perceive this. that they were never in danger. It happens that way in storms of life sometimes. We think it's a great danger. We think something is really terrible. And then looking back, we see that there was no danger, that there was, God had things under control. The only danger is our poor response. So again, let's consider, how would we have behaved in the ship? What would we have done? Would we have looked to the Savior and said, well, Jesus is at peace, I'm at peace also? Wouldn't that have made a great story to tell, a story of faith, trusting in Him, how much His disciples had trusted in Him? Just if they would go and take a nap as well, how would we behave? Would we be asked the same question of Jesus that we see Him asking there? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How great is faith! And storms can be just what we need to realize how great faith is. And you see here also in this story, let's see if I have it again. Yeah. How that they said that, look at verse 41, it says that they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now it appears that they are afraid of Jesus. Afraid of him. What manner of man is this? And so now they're afraid again. So good can come from the storm, in that we realize the power of God. They realize more of the power of God here. And if you think of this as the disciples that's been with him, and even those that were on the other side, and they saw him do the miracles, they saw him in all the things that he did. Now they see him as their own Savior. He has saved them from this storm. And that can be a good that comes from the storms that come upon us in our life. We can see our God better. We can see His care for us. We can see that He is our Savior. We might have thought of Him as just as the Saviors of others, but we realize Him as our Savior. We want to look at another place of them crossing in chapter 6 of Mark. Mark chapter 6. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed unto a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So we see the setup here. The disciples have been sent away to go to the other side on the ship. And he's on the land. So they're crossing to the other side. Now in verse 48 it says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. So he could see them from where he was. I guess that would be even before that he was watching them from the mountain as he was praying. He could see them and saw them tolling, pulling and the rowing. And the wind is contrary to them. So it appears that the wind is keeping them from going to the other side, and they're fighting against the wind and not able to make progress. And then you see him walking upon the sea, walking across. And maybe this would have passed him by as indication of his speed versus theirs. They've been poling and rowing and doing all they can to get to the other side, and he just comes right across. In verse 49, he says, "But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." So again we see he's calmed the storm. He's calmed the sea. It says the wind ceased when he came on board. And again we see they were amazed. It says amazed beyond measure. They again see the power of Jesus in the storm. Though they had pulled and they had worked so hard to try to get across, the wind was holding them off. He had no trouble. He even walked on the water. And then he brought calm. This was an amazing thing. Amazing for a man to do. But proof that Jesus was more than a man. And in our lives, we might have problems just like this. But we need to realize whether we think God is asleep or not with us, or not watching, or does not care. We need to always remember that He cares for us, that He can take care of all of our problems. But sometimes we may have these feelings, even as we see David expressed in times in the Psalms, of him having feelings like this. You see him crying out to God in different places. But here we see Psalms 10 and 1. He says, "Why stand thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doeth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices which they have imagined." Let's get down in verse 12, though. He's then calling on the Lord. He says, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble." And then as we get to the end of the verse, I'm just skipping through this. It says, "The Lord is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of the land. The Lord hath heard the desire of the humble. And thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress." God will hear. And we see as he goes through that. So David has times when he feels like he has these same problems that we see there in the storm. And it may seem that the time the storm may seem to be sinking us. It may seem at times that the storm is stopping us. Or whether we think that it's not, that he doesn't care. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. And trust in God. Now notice this last, see if I have it again. In that last verse there that we read in Mark 6, back up. Verse 52, it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart had been hardened." For their heart was hardened. Just previously, Jesus had performed a miracle. They should not have been so amazed to see his miracle. But it said they had not considered the miracle of the loaves. They didn't realize what he had done and his great power. And so we need to have a strong faith going through the storms of life. And so as we read this, we see of this, that they considered not the miracle of the loaves. We might think they looks like they didn't consider the miracle of the storm before either. So we need to grow our faith. That whenever we're in the troubles, we're in the ship that's fully filling up with water and the storms around us, that we trust and we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we have some ways to do that that I want to mention here. First is to remember, to consider, as they had not considered the miracle of the loaves. They had not considered the previous miracle. And maybe we fall in the same category. We don't remember. We don't consider what God has done for us. We don't consider His goodness. How often do we think about His salvation, His forgiveness, and how marvelous it is? How amazing His grace is. How amazing that He would go and pay our price on the cross. And so we don't consider and we don't reflect on God enough, and we have a weak faith. Or maybe our problem is that we focus, or another problem that we may have is that we focus on the storm. We focus on the adversary. We focus on the problems instead of focusing on God and considering Him. As in Matthew, where we see Peter walking across, and it says that he saw the wind. He was caught, where Jesus called him out to walk on the water, and he was walking on the water. But when he saw, verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" His little faith, I think it was back, it comes from this looking and saw the wind boisterous. He was looking at the wrong thing. He was afraid because he was not looking at Jesus. He was looking at how impossible it was of what he was doing. Also, as we've talked about, focusing on God and praying to God builds our faith. We see this story where in Matthew where the disciples were not able to cast out this devil. And then we see Jesus does. And so they come and ask him why. In verse 20, Matthew 7 and 20 says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and go to yonder, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Notice verse 21. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And so he told them it was because of their unbelief. And he says, if you have faith, even a little faith, you would be able to do these great things. And then also we see this mentioned about prayer and fasting. This will build our faith. Another is studying the Scriptures. Studying the Scriptures will build our faith. In 2 Timothy 3 and 15, Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Knowing the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures will build our faith. And so when we have times of trouble, why do we not have strong faith? We've not done the things to build a strong faith. We've not focused on God, considering His great power and His ability, considering His great care and love for us. We've not done the things to build our faith. We focus on the wrong things. We do not spend our time in prayer and fasting. We do not spend our time in the Scriptures. And so we're worried in the time of storm. We're in panic when we should have peace. And storms try our faith. And without trying our faith, how do we know that we even have faith? And James said that he would show his faith by his works. It takes works to show our faith. Another thing we want to realize is the great value of our faith. Just have one scripture here. In John 5 and in verse 4 he says, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We sing a song sometimes, "Faith is the victory." And this is where it comes from. Verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Believe on Him. Trust in Him and obey Him and His commands to prove that we love Him. As Christians, we're called to follow, to obey, and to trust. And as those that are not Christians, we've got to look to Him for our salvation. We can't make it our own way. We can't be good enough. We need His forgiveness. We need to be baptized into Jesus to become a Christian, to be a new creature, and let the old things be passed away. And so we extend an invitation this morning. If you're not a Christian and know about what you need to do, if you need to come and to be baptized, that you would be added to the church, or if you need to come and request prayers, as we see that we're instructed to pray for one another as Christians, we extend this invitation and we stand and sing.